May 31st, Sunday morning class on general specific authority. Hopefully the last couple of classes will get into the music that is approved today in the church that we are to do. We'll look at the specifics of that and the general things that are allowed or the age that are allowed to carry out commands. We've been trying to go back and establish again things of the Old Testament because today music is even in the Lord's church. It's throughout the denominational world, and when you talk or deal with individuals, they appeal again to certain scriptures of the Old Testament. So try and point out some things from that would necessarily they have to include in following those scriptures of the Old Testament for their authority, if you will, for the music that they practice today. We begin last week looking at the silence of the scriptures, that if God has not said anything concerning a matter, then we need to leave it alone. And that principle is found in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, when Paul there says, "For he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. So whatever is not of faith, then is sin." And again, the idea of believing a thing to be right does not make that thing right. We must have the authority, or thus saith the Lord, for the things that we practice. And so my opinion of what I believe that music may teach, if I'm uncertain of a certain thing we point out, then you do not need to participate in the act if there's doubt in your mind whether it's right or whether it is wrong, until you have that conviction about you that this is what the Bible says concerning this matter. And that would be of music or the Lord's Supper, or whatever you may have doubt in, that you are not to participate in that. And that's kind of what we looked at last week. And again, as we pointed out, the things that we cover is some may term elementary basic principles. But again, because those basic principles have not been followed, you have division throughout the world today, even to the extent of the Lord's church, that the Lord's church today is beginning to practice instrumental music, different days of worship. And so you have those things that are taking place. We have mentioned before the idea or the meaning of what context is. And we understand that it has application not only to the old, to the new, that we looked last week in the book of Jeremiah, we're returning to the old paths of how they determined what was right and what was wrong. It's the same way that we determine today what is right or wrong. That which is written, that which is approved, the commands, the examples, okay? But it has application to the old and new. And so if you go back to the Old Testament to try to prove a point, then you need to keep the Old Testament context in mind, just the same as you do the new. And it's just simply the set of circumstances or facts that surround a particular event or scripture. It's the part of a written statement that precedes or follows a specific word or passage. And that would influence the meaning of that passage. And so that's something that we understand. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Paul there says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Again, faith is not based upon Ray's opinion to what he may think the scriptures teach on instrumental music. Romans 10:17 tells us what? Faith comes by hearing. So that's how we walk, okay? If God's word says nothing about a certain course, then there can be no faith. And we do not need to pursue, if you will, that course if God's word does not say something about that. When you look in Hebrews chapter 8, concerning, briefly bring this out and keep in mind, this law that we are under today, this covenant that we are under today. In Hebrews 8, begin with verse 8, the writer there says, "Because finding fault with them, he says, 'Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers.'" If you've got the contrast, there's going to be a new compared to that which was at one time existed, that he made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. Verse 10 says, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." And it's referring to the covenant that we are under today as God's children. He says, "I will put my laws in their mind, write them in their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." This idea, if you look up the definition of new, vine says it's that which was unaccustomed or unused. It's a covenant that has not been used before versus that which has already been used. And we'll hopefully see the significance of that. It's not having reference to new in time or recent. If you go out and race it, I went out and bought Ray a new baseball. Well, it's just a new in that it's, matter of fact, it's still the same old baseball, but it's just new. That's not what he's talking about. The new covenant is not a restructure of the old. Okay? What he means is, it's a new form or quality. Completely different from the old. Okay? It's a new form or quality. Different in nature from that which was contrasted, oh, it's fresh. It's something new, never before used, okay? So hopefully we can understand that when we look at the covenant we are under and the music that God approves of, it's something that has never, okay, been before on that. So it's something new. A lot of you are familiar, if you've dealt with denominational individuals, about why or by what do they get their authority? Those who dealt with, what's some of the things they say? If you talk to a bass, say, why do you play a piano, dude?
Most of them I've talked to said, well, they did it in the Old Testament, so we have to be able to do it now.
Okay. That is. Anything else you deal with?
They say specifically not said in the Bible that you don't use musical instruments.
So the silence, they don't say not to. Yeah. And so you have that we looked at last week. And so you have these. And so the arguments, those made for authority today. And we will look at the appeal to the old. If you're going to appeal to the old, then you need not just simply look at one thing and say, here's our authority, okay? James 2 in verse 10. A principle is stated there when James there says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." Okay? So James is saying, if one is to be a keeper of law or a righteous person, they must keep what?
All
the law. It's just like the laws of the land. If you're going to be a law-abiding citizen, just because you observe the speed limit and don't observe another, this does not make you a law-abiding person. Okay? So to be a righteous person or a law-keeper of the law, you must keep the whole law and not offend anyone. But you do not have to be guilty of breaking God's law by breaking every law. You're guilty of a law break if you break one law. And so you see the contrast of what James is making there. So the application of those who go to the old law for the authority for worship and what's involved, do they incorporate all that the law says concerning a verse or verses, or do they simply pull a phrase from that? The application would be that if that's what they do, then you're guilty of breaking the law. You're not keeping all the law. You're just saying, by keeping this one point, I'm righteous. And that's a principle that is set forth in James, if you will. When you look at the law of Moses, it was not only a spiritual law, it was a civil. It's which governed them, much like our laws of the land today, that we can do this, we can't do this, okay? But the law of Moses applied to both, the spiritual and the civil law. And the application, the arguments that I've heard, those who say in Colossians 2 and verse 14 that it was nailed to the cross, says it was not the law of Moses that was nailed to the cross, but the ceremonial aspect of the law, that which involved the sacrifice and the killing of the animal, the feast days, and other days, the ceremonial law. That's just what was done away with. But that of Exodus chapter 20, the law of Moses, was not done away with. And therefore, music came under that aspect to it. And so it was not done away with. And so we have the authority and stuff today to practice that because that was not done away with. There's a number of arguments. I think Romans chapter 7, when you look at Paul's writing here, he deals with this as far as being free from the law of Moses to be married or to have to come into a new covenant or a new relationship with Christ. Okay, and that's what he's dealing with. But he uses the law of marriage when he talks about verse 2, for the woman who has a husband is bound by law. In other words, he's saying while that husband exists, while he lives, she is bound to that person. And we understand the point that Paul is making. And the point he's getting at, if that husband dies or that wife dies, he or she then is free to what? All right? The only way that we can be married today, or the Jews could have been married today, or us, could be married to Christ, is what?
For that law to be dead.
That law to be dead. And that's the application that he's making. Therefore, we can be married to Christ. And he goes on, when you look down in verse 7, Paul tells you what that law that was made dead is referring to. What shall we say then? Is the law of sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law said, you shall not covet. That was the law of Exodus chapter 20. And Paul says that law is dead. And so the argument that they make has no validity to it, because Paul plainly points to which law that he is referring to. And so we understand that. Another one that has come up recently is that the commandment of music was given to David and not to Moses. And so when the commandment of the law died, when that law died, the law of music to David was not made dead. It still existed. It was never done away with. And again, some of us have heard of that. Okay? And I think Donnie, maybe in the recent study, that the verse of that came up. And they appeal when you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Again, anytime you have thoughts or comments, feel free to speak, some input. And those who are dealing with the law of music was given to David and not to Moses, they use 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 25. Someone read, please.
And stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and stringed instruments and with harps according to the commandment of David of God, of Gad, the king's overseer, of Nathan the prophet. For this was the commandment of the Lord of his prophets.
When you look at this verse outright and what they say, tell me some things that this verse says, some specific things that this verse says.
One, that it's the Levites who are going to have the instruments.
Right. James 2 and verse 10 says what? As we looked at this principle.
Keep the whole law.
So the application of this verse, if it's that's the commandment made to David concerning instruments, then who could play them? Okay. That's common sense. And so we understand. Also, what else is it? What's another specific thing here that's pointed out? The types of instruments, okay, or musical instruments. But when you go on and simply look at this, one thing that it does not say, nowhere in this verse does it say that David received this commandment from whom? From God. It simply says that David commanded. You're dealing with during the days of Hezekiah, okay? And we're going to look at this and try to prove this point. It talks about according to the commandment of David. In other words, during David's time, much like Hezekiah was doing now, Hezekiah was given a commandment concerning what?
Worship.
Just like David gave the command when he was king. And one of the responsibilities of a king was to what? Uphold the law of who? To both. So we understand that. So nowhere says this commandment. What he says is, Lord, you need to sing just like the command says. It's not that the command came to him, but he was restating a commandment that was given. You need to do this. Just like Hezekiah was saying, just like David did, so I am now saying you need to do this. It says, of Gad the king's seer, of Nathan the prophet, for thus was the commandment of the Lord by his whom? Prophets. Okay? That was what the commandment, David, you do the commandment of the prophets that was given. Okay? And so we understand that. So he's saying give a commandment that already exists. 1 Chronicles 15. As we look at this just a little and try, hopefully this will help you if you encounter those who say that the music, the law of music was given to David. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Book. Verse 2 says, and David said, no one may carry the ark of God with the Levites. Here is another thing that David commanded. Okay? David said, no one is to do what? I carry the ark. For the Lord gave that command. David was just simply saying what the Lord said. But in reality, who was this command given to? It was given to Moses. Okay? As we see. So they were not to carry... not everyone, but the Levites was to carry that. When you drop down to verse 12, he said to them, you are the heads of the father's house of the Levites. Sanctify yourself, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel in the place I have prepared. For because you did not do it right the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us, because we did not consult him about the proper order or the proper ordinance. We didn't go back to the ordinance or the command of the law that was given concerning the transportation of the ark. So the priests and Levites sanctified themselves. They brought the ark up. And the children of Levites bore the ark on their shoulders by the poles as Moses done what? Commanded according to the word of God. And so this was a command. All it's saying is that David is saying the same thing that the law was given to Moses, if you will. 2 Samuel 6 and verse 3 through 7. Someone read, please. 2 Samuel 6, 3 through 7.
So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God.
What was the sin here?
Touched it.
Huh? That's one. You were not to touch that which was holy. What's the other one? While it was being brought up. The music was not the sin. Okay? The sin was, and you call, when you go down to verse 13, what phrase in there tells us what they were to do concerning the ark?
For it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 miles.
Those who doing what?
Bear.
What means to, how, what does it mean to bear?
Carry.
To carry, okay? That was the proper order, if you will. When you drop back to Joshua chapter 3 and verse 3. There it says, and they commanded the people, when you see the ark of the covenant of our Lord, your God, and the priest, and the Levites bearing it, you shall set out from your place and go out. Again, it's out the priest and the Levites were to do what? It had nothing to do with the music. Okay? When you even drop back to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 9. So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the ark of the Lord, and all the elders of Israel. It was a law that was given to Moses. David is simply restating that which was written in law. Okay? There was never no law given to David concerning music. Everything, just like today in Jude 3, that we have all things delivered to us today. It's once and for all delivered. When God delivered the Ten Commandments to Moses, the same thing could be said. It was delivered in its completeness. There was no need for a law later on to go and add to the worship service as far as what Moses was concerned. And so the argument of what they make, they just simply pull that and say, here's your authorization. That law of Moses, yeah, it was done away with. And probably stemmed from they could not prove the point that when the law was truly done away with, they had come up with another avenue. Again, you do these things for what purpose? It's something that you want incorporated in what?
Into your worship.
Into your worship or everyday life. Okay? And so that's all that we're trying to point out. These fallacies of arguments that individuals make today. Does anybody have anything to add? Maybe. Yes, sir.
Jeff, I've used the illustration many times on the idea of a covenant. If you go and buy a car and finance the car, there's an agreement or covenant between you and the bank. And you pay so much and you get the car. And if you come under a new covenant, you buy a new car, something different, then again you make a different covenant and you're making a different payment. And that really is a covenant, an agreement. All of those are the same. And it really is that simple. The old is done away. You don't have the old car, you don't have the old payment, but you've got a new car and a new payment. And I think sometimes it helps people see what an old covenant, new covenant is.
Good point. But again, you know, we're not denying that God approved music, okay, in the Old Testament, even before. When you turn to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21, that music, we made mention that music existed long before the law of Moses ever came into existence. And it's kind of a funny law thing, you know, people want to appeal to the old law. You never hear people appealing to the patriarchal law or things, or you don't read a word. The Jewish nation, Israel, appealed, well, what about our fathers before we became a nation, whatever. But for some reason, people today, the Christian dispensation, will want to go back to that law. Genesis 4, verse 21, his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who played the harp and the flute. So these instrumental music existed long. For what purpose? We're not told what they played these for. It could have been for worship. We know certainly that's true under the old law that it was. But when we go to look at these verses concerning the old law and music, music was a way of life, I guess, for Israel. Okay? They used music about all that they done. And so it was not just that which pertained to worship, but everyday life. That we will see when you look at Genesis chapter 31, verse 27, concerning Laban and Jacob. Well, verse 26, and Laban said to Jacob, what have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives taken with a sword? Why do you flee so away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with the joy of songs, with timbrels and harps. Again, the purpose of musical instruments used was for what? It had nothing to do with worship. Okay? But what?
Celebration.
Celebration, joy. Okay? And so when you look at the aspects of how those things were used with Israel, we find that there's a wide variety of how things were used. And again, you have most. Do you have something you want?
I was going to go on there in 2 Chronicles 29. If you go on and look at that, the only example we see of the instrument of music used during their worship was at the time of burnt offerings. Hezekiah, if you go on down to verse 27, he gave the order to offer the burnt offering. When the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets, accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. And that only continued while there was the burnt offering. If you go on to verse 29, at the completion of the burnt offerings, the king and all who were present with him bowed down and worshiped. And it goes on, verse 30, that the Levites then began to sing. The only specific example in the Old Testament of using instruments in worship was with burnt offerings. So people would have to have burnt offerings today even to obey that command.
Yeah. Again, when you deal with it, I'd say that they take a verse or pull a phrase from a verse, and they say, therefore, this is our authority for things. I didn't get into that. That's a good point. Glad you brought it. But when you look at this, the idea that not all were singers, not all were instrument players. You had a combination. If that were a thing today, we're going to say this side you bring your instruments tomorrow or next Lord's Day. You'll play. You'll sing. Because we have an example of that according to their reasoning. Okay? And so it's a good point. When you look at these things, what is specified even under the old law, again, the certain kind of instrument. Just because Ray can play a guitar, you might not find a guitar in these passages. He may have to learn to play something else. And so it's not, I'm not trying to poke fun. Okay? But the reasoning, when you look at, I guess, the silliness to it, because I'm convinced a lot of the individual denomination think they have authority that what they're doing is right. I'm not trying to say that. But again, we need to point these things out as far as that. And so, even as you mentioned, not all this pleaded saying, but you do have examples of where pleaded saying was offered in praise to God. Not so much, but just everyday life. Much like Dewey may go out in the garden and sing. What's he doing? He's offering praise by the fruit of his lips, okay? And so you have that. In Exodus chapter 15, in verse 1, we'll look at several verses so you can get a wide idea of this music that we say was in everyday life. It was used for different things. Today, our song is offered as a means by which we can teach and admonish, is it not? It was likewise used in the Old Testament, 15 verse 1, in Moses, the children of Israel sang this song. He spoke to them. He spoke to them concerning this song that they sang and teaching them certain things, okay? And so that application was made in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And verse 16. Let our master now command your servants who are before you. And this is in reference to David and Saul, okay? It talks about, now let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is skillful playing on a harp. And it shall be that when he will play with his hands, when the distressing spirit from God is upon you concerning Saul, you shall do well. And when you drop down to verse 23, it was so whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play. For what purpose? It had nothing to do with worship or praise to God, but for what purpose?
Make him
feel better. Music. And does music have that effect? Yes. And so when you look at the aspects of music today, and I've heard the argument made that as far as instrumental music, their bands are outlawed across the board, period. There's nothing you have to do with them. I don't agree with that thought, that that's what it is. I think music today can be very soothing. I'm not saying any of the old music that we can sing things. But again, we're having worship, reference to worship, okay? What does God approve of in worship? And so you had that David. Again, at times all the same, other times instrument. Back to Exodus chapter 15. Someone read verse 20 and 21 of Exodus chapter 15. the idea of singing and playing was approved by the Old Testament, okay? So they're praising God, okay? Everyday life, that they're praising God. This idea, it would be interesting for you if that we are to use these things of what is recorded as our authority. Maybe we need to learn to dance, okay? Which, because that was important. That's what they done, the dance, okay? And when you look at this, and Donnie may have better knowledge on this, this idea of dance, when you look at Joseph Thayer's definition of what dance is, and I'm sure y'all all see ballets and stuff, how they run and jump and all this, but also Thayer says how it represents while they're doing this, to chirp like a bird. Again, it's how they praise God, okay? Now, what about today? Well, we're under a new covenant, okay? Even though those things that was approved by God are not so today. And so, the aspect of their life. Numbers chapter 21. Verse 17. Then Israel sang this song, "Sprang up, O well, all of you sing it." Again, the idea that they just sang, not accompanied by music. And so you have these. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 30. That Moses gave instruction to Israel before he died in a song. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 30. Then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. So Moses sang for instructions, okay, to be given. Judges chapter 11 and verse 34. Here concerning Jephthah and his daughter in verse 34 says, "And when Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and dancing." Again, it was an everyday way of life for Israel. That music was incorporated in almost everything that they done. Joshua chapter 6. Verses 4 and 5. "And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. The seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the horn." This is the destruction of Jericho. Instruments was used for what purpose here?
Battle,
basically. To go into battle. And so they were instructed, not just any. They couldn't take raised electric guitar or steel guitar. They would take what? Trumpets. Things that are specified that unless you take the trumpet, you march X amount of times around the walls of Jericho. So many are doing it times each day. The walls of Jericho would not fall. And so the things are specified. Verse 5, "It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with a ram's horn against battle, and you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout." The things that are involved of what they done. "Then the wall of the city shall fall flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before himself." Again, our time's about up. We'll look at some more of these of how to give you an idea of the music of Israel. Okay? And the point that, you know, basically, not all of the things is in worship. It was involved in every other thing. So if you appeal to music, as James 2 and verse 10, then you need to do all that's under that command for music today. You won't have anything. Don't you have anything?
Still, I know in the studies that I've had, is it goes back to the study that you did here on during the first quarter, that individuals fail to make a distinction between what I can do as an individual, which has nothing to do with worshiping with a local church, and what the church is doing is worshiping its work. And so people have played the idea if God has blessed me with an ability to do something, then the only way that I can exercise that and really give God glory for what He has, the ability He has given him, is to praise Him in the worship. So individuals say, why can't I praise Him in the worship of the church? And so they automatically equate the two.
But again, you know, when you look at that, we look at Miriam. It talks about the dance. It talks of other things about the dance. You cannot carry that particular verse over to 2 Chronicles 29 and incorporate it in the worship. Okay? It would have even been wrong for them. In other words, everything had its place on that. It's a good point. That's what I bring. I don't necessarily agree that everything that we do, but I think people can enjoy music today. People can listen to music. They can go to Renfro Valley and listen to music. Okay? Of course, other laws prohibit us in certain that you couldn't go to a bar, but we understand that. Yes, sir.
The word acapella is an interesting word.